They that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. I can't say how much I appreciate Living Word Church being here, to be planted here, and to know that we flourish in our life because of the ministry of this church. And we're so grateful for that. Well, praise the Lord. I haven't done a confession over the scriptures for a little while, so lift up your Bible, your iPod, your phone, whatever you read the Word of God in, and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. Continue to be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same, because I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Never in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Great man of God taught me that. So last week, just a little quick review if you weren't here. We are in the second part, 2 Thessalonians. We're in a series called Jesus Is. We're going through all the books in the New Testament about what Jesus is. I've learned so much out of this. And last week, I labeled the message, Grab a Towel. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the pain and the sweat and the pressure and the demonic influence that was going on Monday, Thursday was incredible. And what did Jesus do? He took off his priestly garments. He took off his tallit, his priestly robes, and he grabbed a towel and he washed the feet of his fellow brethren, especially even the one he knew that was going to betray him. You know, it's easy to love the lovable. But harder to love your enemies. And he had an enemy there, and he loved him anyway. And he grabbed a towel. And we talked about three things, about great love, great servanthood, great humility. Those were the three main points from last week's message. Great love, great humility, and great service, servanthood. And that's what Jesus did. He did that on the night before he betrayed. He knew Judas was going to betray. He knew what he was going to go through. He knew everything he was going to go through. You know, if most of us knew what we would go through, we probably wouldn't be real happy. Some of those trials and tribulations, right? But God gives us little windows when we need them, okay? But so, the road to victory is paved with those three things: great love, great humility, and great servanthood. Jesus said, if you want to be great, go low. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, go low. Be the servant of all. Amen? Humility. So today we're going to be in 1 Timothy. I like 1 Timothy. There's a lot of things you'll see why in just a minute. But in 1 Timothy, I've got five things I want to go over here. And Jesus is, in 1 Timothy, the one who calls leaders, leaders. And you might go, I'm not a leader. That's not a correct statement. Because every one of you are leaders. Say, I'm a leader. Yeah. Who do you lead first? Thank you. You're a leader. You lead yourself. We're responsible for building our own faith. Amen? So we lead ourselves first. And then, because we lead ourselves first, then we can help to lead others, right? And God knows a lot of people need a lot of help leading, getting led, right? Yeah. So it was really great, because in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, we'll look at this. Paul, an apostle. And, you know, put your name in there. Michael, Mary, Perry, a disciple. God does not think any less of us than he did of Paul. So when you put your name in there, it reminds us that we're equally important. and the mission and the goals that God has given to us are equally important. And that's how Paul came across to his son in the faith, Timothy. He said, "You're important. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, a true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace." It's a perfect trifecta. Come on. Grace, mercy, and peace. Perfect trifecta. From God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as we look about Paul being a leader of Timothy, I'm going to kind of go mention this. I've mentioned it been a while. But we really need three. And I can use whatever three fingers you like. I use the top three. I use the bottom three. We need three people in our life. And I don't care what your age is. We need a Paul. Somebody who knows a whole heck of a lot more than we do. And who's able to speak into our lives. And help us along in life. Come on. Anybody need help? Yeah, I do. All right, so we need a Paul that knows a whole lot more and been through a whole lot more than I have or we have so that he can help us along. All right? And then, number two, we need a Barnabas in our life. Barnabas is a really good buddy. I don't know about you, but I got a couple of really, really good buddies. Some have gone, but some are still around. You love a buddy. They're not impressed with you, and you're not impressed with them. And, man, you can rib them. You can joke. You can be cross with them, and they're okay with that. You need a good buddy. Everyone say, "I need a buddy." I love my buddies. I'm so thankful for them. And then the third type of person we need in our life is we need a Timothy, someone that we can pour into, someone we can give to. And that's what I love about, you call him a mentee, right? And I was thinking of Tom Osborne.
Really?
Yeah. He started the mentorship program, Teammates, with 22 students. 42,000 students have gone through that program. He was a great man of God. We have a neighbor was in the athletic department and was part of everything that went on during the Osborne era. And by golly, he tells some things about what an upstanding Christian man Tom Osborne was. He would have meetings at 7 o'clock in the morning. He was there with his coat and his tie on, and he always shared scripture. Every meeting. I'm so thankful for that type of legacy. And people that he's touched over the years. But that's what we need. We need somebody here. And I keep asking God, you know, if somebody moves out of those slots, give me another one. You know, a Paul over us that can really feed into us, or Barnabas, somebody we can buddy up with, or Timothy we can put into. So there's a continual flow, right? Okay. And that's important because Timothy obviously was a protege of Paul. All right, so that's number one. Everybody say number two. Number two, Jesus is the Savior. Now, this is not striking news in a church like this, but let's look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at verses 12 through 15. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me," right, "because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry." This is Timothy speaking, right? And verse 13, "although I was formerly," everyone, come on, we used to be a formerly. We had some formerlies in our life. And I remember I had a church elder one time come in and said, "Oh, Pastor Mike, you should have seen me in the day. Back in the day when I da-da-da-da-da." And I looked at him and said, "Buddy, that old man is dead. Shut up right now. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know anything about it. And you don't want to know anything about where I've been." Amen? Yeah. Except here, God allowed it. Timothy was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor, an insolent man, pretty bad guy. That's a bad trifecta. And then there's a but God. But God. I obtained mercy because I did those things ignorantly and unbelief. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. Grace never ends. No matter what comes up today, no matter what comes up tomorrow, no matter what comes up next week, there's a grace for that. Come on. There is always a grace for the things that come. We need to be reminded of that. That everything, every situation, whether it's short, medium, or long term, whatever trials, whatever things we're facing, there's a grace for that. Amen. The grace, that's good preaching. Grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant, never runs out, and with faith and love are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. And this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Timothy was willing to admit he was a bad boy. Well, we're all bad boys and girls, some a little worse than others, but Jesus came into the world to save us. Hallelujah. So he knew where his salvation come from. I love that. Grace is always an exceedingly abundance. Yeah. All right, number three. Everyone say number three. Jesus is the one mediator. This is out of 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Jesus Christ, and who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now we know what a mediator is. A mediator stands between the accuser and the accused. The mediator stands between the ones that are not happy and the one that's wondering why they're not happy. Right? Someone that's willing to stand in between. Well, see, God sent Jesus as the mediator between the condemnation that comes from the devil and the commendation that comes from God. Because God believes in you. God believes in you. You little guys, young guys, young people, God believes in you. You've got great things in store. We can run with that. Yeah. You know, there's no excuses. Because, you know, Jesus, he emptied himself and he stooped down low in order to bring us up. Yeah. He's that one mediator between man and God, Jesus. And I love that. I wrote down, a mediator is one who intervenes between two people in order to make or restore peace and friendship. Say, God's my best friend. God is my best friend. He is the best, always the best, the top. Right? Hallelujah. Number four. Everyone say number four. I love it. Jesus is. He didn't impart grace. He is grace. Jesus is the grace of heaven. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant. We read this earlier, but I thought we'd redo it. With faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Aren't you thankful that he came into the world to save us? Yeah. And aren't you thankful that we have apostles like Joe who can go into the world and organize things that you and I can't do. It's great. And Ron and Marianne, others have done mission trips. Yeah. Grace never ends. It's exceedingly abundant. And the last thing, say number five. Jesus says, because of grace, you can do this. I know there's a new saying out, you got this, and I'm sick of hearing it. But Jesus says, whatever you're looking at, you can do this. Whatever comes your way in the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, however long you have breath, whatever comes your way, Jesus says, you can do this. Why? Not because of who you are. You can do this because of who I am. I'm your grace. I'm your strength. I'm your power. I'm your sufficiency. I'm your everything. That's what Jesus says to us. We need to be reminded of that. Come on, I'm preaching to the choir here. But this is good. This was good for me. Good for me to think about a little bit, you know, because we have decisions to make every day, right? We make a decision every day. And I sit here at the end of the year, and Larry gets up here, and Pastor Larry gets up here and goes, how many of you read through your Bible this year? I felt like a stinking little ant listening to him. I got tired of it. So I'm on a chapter a day. I'm reading a chapter a day. I'm doing good. Now, I do a lot of studying. I dig, but I need to do the reading. So at least I'm making progress. And so make progress, okay? I don't care what it is. Get it. Come on. These Bible apps are wonderful. We have no stinking excuse for not reading the Bible every day. Come on, no excuse. Yeah, we need to read something. Something, right? So Jesus says, because of grace, you can do this. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll look at verses 11 and 12, and this is out of the Message translation. But you, Timothy, O man of God. See, God always calls us what we're becoming. Say it again. God always calls us what we're becoming. Marianne, you woman of God, no matter whether you're walking it out, he calls Timothy man of God. Run for your life from all sin. Run for your life from all sin. You know, we had the privilege to fulfill a dream that I had. I had a dream to preach in a Black Pentecostal church. Sean Stoll called me and said, our Sudanese church pastor got hurt. He can't preach. You want to come preach in North Dakota in February? That says enough. We went through a whiteout all the way through South Dakota. It was awful. Awful. I mean, I felt like I couldn't even feel my nerve endings. So bad. And I got to listen. I got to listen to this Sudanese pastor tell what it's like to be persecuted. And you have one thing you can do. You either stand and die or you run. And you run. I told this story before. And you run some more. And you run. Him and his wife got separated. And you run some more. And you run some more. And you keep running. And you keep running. He ran until the skin was off of his feet. He ran until the ligaments and the tendons were all cut and bloodied on the bottom of his feet. And he ran some more, and he ran, and finally he said, God, I'm just got to lay down in the ditch and die. And he laid down in the ditch. And shortly thereafter, the emergency agency, I can't think of the name of it, but anyway, came by, picked him up, and brought him back. They brought him to North Dakota. He's from Africa. 7 years later, he found his wife. She was alive. And I got to preach in his stead. They didn't get anything from me. I got something from them. I still feel it today. They just poured it into me. I mean, you talk about church. They say it's going to start at 2. It might start at 2. It might start at 3. And they say it ends when it ends. Sean leaned over to me. We were there for 2 hours, and they're still dancing. These people are getting up dancing. This little choir from there, and this little choir over here. I mean, they're so excited about Jesus. They're just thrilled to know Jesus, and they just have to worship. And Sean leaned over to me after a couple hours. He said, I don't know when you're going to preach. I said, okay. I'm going to worship with them. Yeah. But, you know, run for your life. We need to run towards God the way this man ran away from evil. We need to be running towards God. We can do that. We just have to set aside some distractions and some of those things, you know. Hallelujah. And it's a decision. It's a choice. You know, I thought of two words today when I was working on the message. They're called choose wisely. Each day we get up, we need to choose wisely. And then I thought of Raiders of the Lost Ark. When Indiana Jones was in the thing with all the chalices, and the old man said, choose wisely. Choose wisely. And he picked the one chalice that was wood, because he said, Jesus would have died on wood. You know, we need to choose wisely each and every day. It's important to do that. And you know what? If you don't, and you make a mistake, which I know none of you have, there's a grace for making a wrong decision. There's a grace for missing the choice, right? Isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? We got nothing to lose. We just got to keep going. Yeah, do the best we can. Come on. Let's keep up. Keep running. Let's go. We can do this. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. He said, we can do this. And you know, that's that mindset destroyer. Who are we to deny what the Lord can do? Why do I want to stand in the way of the power of God in somebody's life? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to deny what God wants to do. Hallelujah. You know, I want to be the encourager and push, you know. So, so I'm going to end. Larry, I didn't have this in the outline, but if you want to put it up, it'd be Hebrews 12:1. It's a great thing. So if we want to press on with God, this verse will tell you what we need to do. It says, lay aside. What are we supposed to lay aside? Therefore, since we've surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. If you're weighed down, lay it aside. If something comes tomorrow and feels real heavy, lay it aside. And the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Church, we need to keep on running. We can do this. And God gives us a grace for that. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for everything you are, your mercy, everything that you have for us. Thank you, God, that you're for us and not against us. Thank you that as we have planted ourselves in the house of the Lord, you're bringing a flourishing to our life for this week and this season, any of the seasons that we're in. Father, we thank you, Lord, that which is committed and submitted to you is blessed. And Lord, so we not only commit our own selves, but things that we do, our families, community events, et cetera, Lord, that we're blessed, that we're really, 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 really blessed. So, Lord, help us to run this race with endurance. Help us to keep our faith strong in you and trusting in you. And, Lord, I thank you that you're answering prayer in a greater measure than ever before in our lives. And so we thank you for your grace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen, and amen, and amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.